The only way to have freedom is to be comfortable living in the unknown. And your ability to be free equals your capacity to live in the unknown.
You're listening to Thrive by Design, business, marketing, and lifestyle strategies for your jewelry brand to flourish and thrive. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Thrive by Design podcast, episode 182. Happy New Year, my friends. It is January 1st as this episode goes live, and we are embarking on a brand new year, a brand new you, and it's time to kick fear to the curb. And that is why I am so thrilled to have my good friend, Rhonda Britton, on the show today, because she's going to talk about how to face fear and grow your business. And I want to add, grow your business and life fast. So I first met Rhonda, and you're going to hear sort of our connection in the interview, at an event in September with a group that I'm involved in called Baby Bathwater. And I was chatting with my friend Jenny, and she was talking to Rhonda, and Jenny's like, you need to know Rhonda. And I didn't realize Rhonda was as remarkable and famous and incredible as she is. But we immediately hit it off. She had so many great things to say. I had some really wonderful conversations with her over the 3 days that we were together in Utah. And the thing that I found quite amazing and remarkable about Rhonda was just the resilience that this woman has, and the experience, and her background, and her sense of humor, and how she's able to kind of face real life issues in the face. And I don't want to say not take them seriously, because as you listen to this episode today and eventually hear Rhonda's story, because she's going to share it at the end, so make sure that you listen to the entire episode, you'll be blown away. You'll just be blown away. Anyway, Rhonda's going to be talking about fear today and how to kick it to the curb by using her stretch, risk, or die formula or format. And I've gotten so much benefit out of this format. And in fact, as soon as I did it the first time with Rhonda, I sent it to a family member of mine who was struggling with stuff. I'm like, you got to check this out. It's really incredible and amazing. And Rhonda is just the leader of being fearless in your life and business. And I thought this was a fitting topic since we're starting the new year for a new year and a new you. And new year, new you, new business, right? Maybe it's time to like really up level what it is that you're doing in business. And you know, this is why every single year at the beginning of the year, we over here at Flourish and Thrive Academy do our jewelry brand makeover boot camp, because we are just pumped to help you guys get a little business refresh at the beginning of the year, so you can get super clear on what's holding you back from reaching your goals, so that you can remove all the blocks and barriers that are preventing you from maybe getting consistent sales or the exposure that you want or the level of scale that you want in your business, regardless of where you are. We all need work, and it's a never-ending process. So you might have been in business for 20 years, have a very successful business from a sales perspective, but there's something else in your business that needs attention or work. And so we're always at this opportunity or giving these opportunities to really up level and refresh so that you can build the best business and best life possible, you know, doing what you love, which is, you know, in our case, making beautiful jewelry that makes people happy. So I'd love to invite you to join us for the Jewelry Brand Makeover Bootcamp. It starts next week. January 8th is when the announcement goes official. You can get on the waitlist now and get an early access to all the amazingness that this bootcamp has to offer. It's an 8-day bootcamp. We're going to walk you through just the foundational aspects and the eye-opening trade secrets that really successful brands have been using for years that they don't want to talk about because they don't want to give you the competitive edge over them. So we're here, we're like spilling the beans. We're going to tell you what it takes really to build a brand, regardless of your size, that's in alignment with what it is that you want, while also helping you continue to grow your business. So let's do this. That's how we're going to roll today. Head on over to flourishthriveacademy.com/makeover and jump on the wait list and get registered right away. All right. Before I dive into today's episode, I might as well do a formal introduction of Rhonda, shall I? I think so. Rhonda Britton, master coach, Emmy Award winner, repeat Oprah guest, Huffington Post contributor, has changed the lives in over 600 episodes of reality television, is the author of 4 bestsellers, including her seminal work, Fearless Living, and is the founder of the Fearless Living Institute, home of the Ivy League of Life Coaching Training. Named America's Favorite Life Coach, she brings the neuroscience of fear down to earth, giving you a path out of not being good enough, using the Wheels technology she developed that saved her own life. Find out more about Rhonda and her method over at fearlessliving.org. She's just, you guys, she's a force of nature, as you're going to see in this episode. So let's dive right in. Perfect way to start the new year, right? Hey there, welcome to Thrive by Design. I am so excited to have Rhonda Britton on the show. Rhonda has a company called fearlessliving.org, and she is an amazing powerhouse. I met Rhonda this summer, and I'm just blown away by her for so many reasons. And you're going to find out why as we kind of dive into this episode. Rhonda, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure, Tracy. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay. So I was excited to meet you because I didn't know this, but we were at Baby Bathwater in Utah. Wait, was the first time I met you? In Utah?
I think Baby Bathwater.
Yeah, Baby Bathwater in Utah. And I walked out to my friend and I was just chit-chatting with her and she's like, oh, have you met Rhonda? And I didn't realize I was talking to like one of the most famous people ever. And and I loved it because you've done so much in your life, and you've had such a rich gamut. I'm just going to use that without like spilling the beans of life experience, because you've really been through a lot and done a lot, and you've come out to be this like amazing motivational powerhouse. Like that's the best way that I can say it. And at one point you had a show called Help Me Rhonda. And I have to be honest, because I've been singing the song in my head all day. I'm like, why am I singing the Beach Boys? Which I think is so funny. Anyway, so I'm excited to have you here. So I would love for you to talk, just start, because we're going to talk about your framework for stretch, risk, or die. And this is your framework, which I'm going to let you speak about a little bit more, to help people move beyond what they think is possible. That's how I would describe it. So tell us how you kind of became one of the original life coaches and how you kind of came up with this framework.
Well, I'll just go backwards. I'll answer your second question first. You know, how I always come up with my exercises, either is I'm making up something for myself to change my own life, or I'm making something up for a client. So this particular exercise I came up with because one of my clients came to me and said her sales team was not making things happen, right?
Okay.
She didn't know how to motivate them. She didn't know how to inspire them. She didn't know how to, you know, move them past their barriers. Just like you said, you know, when they hit their, you know, their glass ceilings, when they hit their belief systems, like, what do I do, Rhonda? And so I sat there because I was actually physically with her at the time. We were at a restaurant and I grabbed a piece of paper because this is how I work. And I just started making up this exercise that eventually was called stretch, risk, or die. And not only did it help her entire sales team change the way they sold and completely change the game for her business, but it also became one of my go-to tools for just anybody who was finding themselves, whether you want to call it resistant, whether you want to call it sabotage, whether you want to call it self-betrayal, whether you want to call it, you know, whatever you want that name to be.
Yeah.
When they're fooling themselves and believing fear more than their true nature, more than their real goal or dream. So I always like to think that we're operating on two tracks. You know, we're operating on the track of freedom, i.e. fearlessness, i.e. spirit, i.e. intuition, i.e. this isn't the real me.
Yeah.
This is the authentic me, the fearless me. And we're operating on the other track of like, oh my God, I can't do that. Who do I think I am? The fearful us, right? The fear right. Me. So we're all doing that all the time. So it's not like you're fearless all the time and it's not like you're fearful all the time. We're literally living on these two tracks. And this exercise basically takes the fear you who, you know, is like, I can't do that. Who am I? Who do I think I am? Yeah. I can't go and do an interview on TV. I can't have my own radio show. I can't. What? and basically says, well, wait a minute. You're making, because when we're hitting a wall, we're actually making a decision about ourselves based on a past that isn't real, that is a false reality. And fear, and that's what I love more than anything is fear. And, you know, what people don't know is that fear is as smart as you are, as educated as you are, as knowledgeable you are, as spiritual as you are. So it knows everything you know, Tracy. So, you know, so the smarter you get, smarter it gets. So it can say, fear knows exactly what to say to get you to stop doing crazy, fearless things. It knows exactly what to say.
The exact words.
Exact.
Like, always. Remember exact. That one time? A band camp? It's getting registered.
And it doesn't even have necessarily always a story. Sometimes it has a story. Otherwise, it just gives us a feeling, you know, a feeling right. of something bad's going to happen, or a feeling that the other shoe's going to drop, or the feeling that we can't handle it. Or again, fear will use our thoughts, our feelings, you know, again, everything we know against us.
Right.
So one of the things that I recognized over the years using this model I call Stretch, Risk, and Die is it really replaces the traditional to-do list, because it really is the dream to-do list, right? Like it's like, how do you make a dream happen? How do you really set an intention? How do you really make a goal, something bigger than you, make it happen? Because the Stretch, Risk, and Die model uses something that most people don't include when they're attempting a dream, which is the emotional risk it takes mm-hmm. to take an action, the emotional risk.
Yeah, nobody to go for it.
Yeah.
So that's, I love the way that you explain this, because I've heard you talk about this. This will be my third time, which is very exciting, because I just saw you speak at a live event a couple weeks ago, in addition to meeting you. This is really powerful, because I think a lot of us have these goals, but then we don't really like know how to go at them, or we stop ourselves in our tracks because the fear gets too powerful. I mean, I can honestly say that I'm thinking of two things right now that I'm doing that with. And one has to do with my jewelry business, and one has to do with this new company that I want to start. And I'm stopping myself because I'm like making excuses, or like getting stuck in fear. Like, what if I show up in that way of the world? You know, what are people going to think of me? I'm known as this person. Who am I to be that person?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, anytime you go through an identity change, you're going through loss and you're going through recreation. And that in and of itself is going to bring fear up, because you don't know. You do not know what's going to happen. And we all want to try to tell ourselves like it's going to be great. You know, so like all that false rah-rah crap, right? Like, it's going to be great. You can do it. It doesn't really help us in those moments, because there is no guarantee that it's going to be great. All we know is that we want something different. That's what we know. I want something different. I want to be something different. I want to make something different. I want to own something different. I want something to be different in my life. That's what we know. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully we get an intuitive hit about what that next step is.
Right.
And, you know, I'm a big believer in following those intuitive hits, because they're going to lead me somewhere. But even those intuitive hits don't say, oh yes, and you're going to make $1 million. That's not what they say, right? The intuitive hits are just like, hey, go on over there. And you're like, well, am I going to be successful? And they're like, well, I can't say. I'm just saying, go over there, right?
Go try it. It's got something to teach you there. Yeah. Yep.
And I think that people lose track of why they really do what they do, you know, what really turns them on, what really makes them happy. You know, once we reach a certain level of success, you know, we can pay our bills and, you know, people know us and you know, our name is out. We start that level of, then we start getting attached to that, right?
Yep.
And so when we start thinking about expanding it or changing it or altering it or doing something different, that we have to risk that loss, that, oh my God, I won't be known as that person anymore. And that's like, now you're in the desert. Like, I call it the desert. Like, you're in the desert and you're in the unknown. But this is what people don't really get, like really in their core being. Because I just think, I just don't talk about it enough, and everybody doesn't know it enough, is that, you know, the only way to have freedom is to be comfortable living in the unknown.
That is so true. The only way to have freedom, I just want to restate this, is to be comfortable in the unknown.
Yep. And your ability to be free equals your capacity to live in the unknown, right? So your capacity to be comfortable in the unknown determines the level of risk you can take in your life. Okay. So if you're not comfortable, which again, most of us aren't, right? Just because we weren't raised that way, that's not who we are. That's not how the world works, really. That's not what we're praised for in the world, right? So most of us are not comfortable in this thing called the unknown, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay my bills. I don't know what people are going to think of me. I don't know what's going to happen. That's right. You don't. Right?
That, you don't know.
You don't know. And that's where the excitement is. That's where the change is. That's where possibilities lives. That's where opportunity lives. That's where your new life begins. But most people just can't wrap their head around that because the loss feels so big and so risky that they would rather stay where they are, and they know how much money they're going to make, and they know the compliments they're going to receive, and they're going to know what their family thinks. They know this stuff feels more important than deciding and figuring out what they're made of, right? Like, what am I really capable of? What art can really move through me? What stories can I really tell? What am I really here to make? So if you think about every single thing in your life is not the end all be all, not the end all be all. Being a jewelry designer isn't the end all be all. It's just a part of your life called jewelry designer, right? And then the next part of your life is called, oh, I train jewelers. I train jewelry store owners or people that are independent jewelry designers, right? That's another phase of like, oh, this is who I am and this is what I know, right?
Yep.
But the next level is going to go beyond those two things because it has to for you to grow.
Yeah. And that's like seriously what I'm experiencing right now. I'm like, what's the messaging going to be? And I'm getting like so stuck on that and getting stuck in my own fear. Like, oh, you know, and this is something like, you know, I talk to people, oh, it's done before, you know, or it's like da, 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 da. But I know in my head, you know, this has maybe something similar has been done before, but not in my way. And I am me and no one else can be me. And so I got to go for it. You know, when you were walking through this, I'm sitting here in this apartment and before you were like, oh, I love all the white space and the stuff around you. So a year ago, I signed the lease on this place.
Woo-hoo.
I moved out of the West Village. And that was like a stretch risk. It felt like a risk to me. And we're going to talk about the stretch risk and die or die. Not right, stretch risk or die. Or die. Not and die or die.
Stretch risk or die.
Stretch risk or die. It was a huge risk for me because to me, this felt like, what if I can't sustain a level of income to be able to afford this place? And then also, who am I to be moving out of the West Village where I'd formed my complete identity living in New York City to move into this new neighborhood that is like really like a construction zone at the moment. It's going to be the coolest neighborhood in Manhattan at some point, but it's definitely not yet. So it was an emotional battle. Like I would lose sleep over it. I'm pretty, maybe compulsive is the wrong word, but like once I decided and I'm like, I'm just going to do it. But there was so much fear coming up around it. And I knew that if I didn't take this step, I was keeping myself small, staying where I was before. And it was so freaking scary. And this is before I even knew who you were or any of the exercises that you did. I mean, actually, I know who you were now thinking back, but when I met you the first time, I didn't remember. So all this stuff is, it's such a great tool that we can use in our everyday lives to kind of come over the things that are holding us back. And so
it's a way to frame your next steps. You know, it's like a framework. So, you know, and my cat's coming over to say hi because that's...
Yeah, she loves cats.
So, yeah. So she's like in front of the computer right now. She may decide to... Oh, there's her tail. There she goes.
Hello. Perfect.
But she's like, I want to be in... There's girls talking. I'm a girl. I want to talk too.
Exactly.
That's how she thinks. Like, oh, there she goes. She's like, did I get attention? Yes, you were the star of the interview. But this really gives it a framework. So when you can make sense of it, then everything doesn't become as scary, right? If you can frame it and go, well, wait a minute. I know this could be a stretch. I know this could be a risk. I know this could be a die. Oh, this is a risk. Oh, okay. I can do it then, right? And then you know what risk means. So that's the whole point of using the model is to give yourself a understanding of what's happening to you emotionally, right? We always write our goals and our tasks and our intentions and our dreams. And we just think of them as like, well, I got to do this and I got to do this and I got to do this and I got to do this. And we don't take into consideration the risk, emotional risk that it's going to take in order to take those actions. And once you put that in the equation, it is quote unquote easier to take the risk because now you go, oh, okay. This is just how I work. This is how I work because everybody has different fears. Some people have fear of rejection. Some people have fear of failure. Some people have fear of success. So everybody has different fears. And those fears are, like I said, tricky and know you really well. So we want to be able to use this model to actually help us understand who we are and how we work. So should I start talking about this?
What I was going to ask you is, like, you know, we are like, at the time that this episode is going to air, it's going to be sort of like in that transition time when we're starting a new year, we're wrapping up the current year. And this, obviously, this can be used like on a daily basis if you're when you're facing fear.
Yes.
But I really want to empower the designers in our community over here at Thrive by Design and Flourish and Thrive Academy to be able to use this as a tool. Anytime that they're facing a big decision or something that really scares them and they're noticing that they're kind of retracting. So I'd love for you to walk us through the framework of the exercise and how to use it and then how to identify what's a stress risk for that.
Perfect. And before I do that, I just want to say quickly that you may, in just like, I know I didn't ever think I was afraid, but I was anxious or worried.
Yes, so much anxiety. That's like how it shows up for me.
Right. So fear shows up for people in different ways. So it shows up anxiety for you. I get into procrastination and perfectionism. You know, I do that dance. Same. Right. So you may not be saying I'm afraid or I'm scared, but how you identify fear is how it shows up in you, and how it shows up could be that anxiety, that overwhelm, that frustration, that, you know, you're having negative self-talk. You're going around and around. Everything, you go to rational, like, I'm going to be logical about this, right? So everybody does their dance with fear. And what I want to say is that all of that's fear. So if you procrastinate, that's fear. If you're a perfectionist, that's fear. If you're overwhelmed, it's fear. Anxiety, fear, right? Guilt, fear, worry, fear, right? So fear is underneath all those things, and everything just pops up and is a response to that fear, right? So. Yeah. So I just want to get clear that you may not say I'm afraid or I'm scared, because I never did. I never said I'm afraid or I'm scared.
Yeah, I don't really identify it as fear, but like in hindsight, it seems like fear. Like I was
It's totally fear, right? It's totally fear. If you're anxious and afraid to decide and not
waking up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, if you're waking up in the middle of the night with cold sweats, or if you're having negative self-talk, like, well, I'm not good enough and what's my problem? Yeah, that would be fear, right? But again, because we don't use that language, we're evolved enough, we're smart enough, we know, oh, come on. We have beautiful stories we tell ourselves, and we don't really say, oh, that's, I'm actually afraid, right?
Yeah.
So I just want to get that really clear so everybody is on board with us and knows that, okay, there, how do you show up in fear, right? And I talk a lot about that in Fearless Living, and I'll be giving away a special gift for you so that you can actually deepen this experience a little bit more. So let me just start talking about the stretch to die
model. Let's do it. I want
everybody to think of a bullseye. Okay. I want everybody to think of a bullseye. And the middle of the bullseye, I want you to name, if you want to get a piece of paper out, that's awesome, and draw a bullseye. And in the middle of the bullseye is your comfort zone, right? And everybody knows, you've heard comfort zone a million times in every article, comfort zone, comfort zone, comfort zone, right? So I want us to agree on what comfort zone means. And in the world of Fearless Living around Britain, the definition of comfort zone is your life right now. So whatever your life is right now is your comfort zone. So married, not married, making a million, not making a million, kids, no kids, you know, living in your dream house, not living in your dream house, you know, making your best piece of jewelry, not making your best piece of jewelry, right? In a slump, in a high, whatever it is.
Tons of customers, no customers, all of it.
Right. Customers, no customers. One sale, 100 sales, right? That's your comfort zone. Right. So then the next ring after the bullseye is the comfort zone. Then the next ring around the bullseye, the comfort zone, is called the stretch zone. Now the stretch zone is the things you know you can do, but you just haven't done. Let me repeat myself. It's the things you know you can do, but you just haven't done. So for instance, we all know when it comes to health, we all could drink more water. We know that we can drink more water. We can do it. We just don't do it. We know we could take an extra walk around the block, but we don't do it, right? So the things that you know you can do, but you just don't do, is your stretch zone. Now, let me tell you a little thing about the stretch zone. The stretch zone is actually our beat-up zone. It's where we're the most ruthless and cruel to ourselves, because we know we can do it and we're not doing it. So we're like, I can't believe I'm not doing it. What's my problem? Why can't I make that happen? It should be easy. Why do I keep getting stuck? I can't believe I'm so lazy. Why am I procrastinating? Why can't I, right? So it's where we're ruthless with ourselves. Okay.
You should be an actress too. I mean, seriously. That's why you had a TV show or several.
Or several, three TV shows. The one I'm most known for is Starting Over, by the way, in the US. So for people who are Starting Over fans, that aired on NBC at noon every day for 3 years.
Yeah, and it beat Ellen.
It beat Ellen. We had 3 million viewers a day back, you know, back when it aired. And yeah, we beat Ellen and we won a lot of Emmys. So there awesome. You go. I know, it's awesome, right? So the stretch zone is, you know, it's the easiest tasks you could do, but the ones you're not doing and you're avoiding or you're ignoring or you're denying. And so
can I frame this for our people?
Sure.
So for most of you, not everyone, it's like the stuff that you like reaching out to PR or making that those revenue generating activities, as I like to call them, all the stuff that's going to bring money into your business, that you're doing all the other stuff that's easy to do. The stretch is, it's not that it's hard. You know exactly what to do, but you're not doing it because you're putting it off or whatever. Because for some reason, there's that fear that's coming up, right?
That's right.
Okay.
And so the stretch zone, because you beat yourself up and you're so ruthless, does your confidence go up or does your confidence go down?
Down, for sure.
Go down. Your ability to do the task well, does that go up or does it go down?
Down.
Down. Does your self-esteem go up or does it go down?
Down.
Your energy level, does it go up or go down?
Oh, for 100% down.
Down, right? So here's something that you know you could do, right? But you're not doing it. And now your confidence is down, your self-esteem is down, your energy's down, you're tired. You know, so now the next zone, which is your risk zone, which is the next circle around your stretch, right? The bands around a comfort, yeah, stretch, and risk. Now, how much energy do you have to do to take a risk?
Right.
Right. So when you're not taking your stretches and you're using your energy to beat yourself up, you're literally, you know, siphoning the energy. If we have 100 points of 100 units of energy a day, and you're using that energy to beat yourself up or complaining about yourself or making excuses about yourself or telling yourself lovely stories about yourself, like, I'm really like this and why can't I do it? It must be me. It must be something wrong with me. Like all those lies that you tell yourself, that actually is stealing your energy away. And then the energy you have left for your tasks becomes less and less and less. And now it's about survival. Now it's about like just making sure you eat today, right? Now it's just making sure you go pick up the dry cleaning, right? So you got to keep your day-to-day life going. You have no time and no energy to actually go beyond the minimal tasks that you do on a daily basis. Now, before I go further on the risk, I do want to give a little warning here. The stretch risk and die zone is when you want to use this when you're wanting to, i.e. stretch risk or die. So you may not need that. If you go to the gym every day, you don't need to stretch risk or die. You already go to the gym every day.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the areas in your life where you want to grow, right? Where you want to grow. So, okay, so stretch zone is, you know you can do it, you just don't do it. It's a beat-up zone, and it steals your energy, your time, your confidence, et cetera. The next zone is the risk zone. Now, the risk zone is, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do it. So Tracy, what would that be for your peeps? What do they know? What do they don't know if they can do or not?
Maybe it would be like to hit like a sales goal that seems impossible to them. So let's say a designer is doing like maybe $50,000 in sales a year. I think a lot of that, maybe they've been stagnating there for a while, like a couple years. Maybe they think that getting to 150 would be a huge risk and very hard. Or the people who are already doing multiple six figures, maybe getting to $1 million in sales would be really hard. Or I think a risk for a lot of people, depending on who they are, like especially if they're just starting out, would be like even approaching like a retail store to sell their product. I mean, I think it just really depends on where you are in the stage of business. Mm-hmm. Because like if you're just starting out, like the risk might be even like asking for a sale for the first time. That's not even beyond the stretch. So I always think in terms of like revenue stuff, because all the other stuff is the stuff that leads to building more revenue. So like the small tasks and like maybe it's also even like it's a risk to like really take a hard look at what your business is pulling in and the financials involved in it to see where you're actually wasting money in your business. Because I know a lot of people, a lot of the designers we mentor say they don't have money for things, but then they'll go and buy more supplies, even though they're not selling the jewelry that they've already made, instead of reframing the way that they're approaching their business from a financial
perspective. Right. But it's hard. The risk or the die is to go from hobbyist to business owner.
Right.
if I'm a hobbyist, then I don't care about sales. I'm doing it for an evolved sort of reason. I'm doing it to express myself. I'm doing it to express myself. But then a business owner actually has to take care of business, right? So now more, it's not just about expressing yourself. Now it's about learning. Because to me, owning a business is one of the greatest spiritual journeys of my life.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. So to me, when people say, well, I don't want to get dirty and do business. You know, I don't want to do it for money because I want to stay pure. It's like, no, honey. Opening a business and having a business and learning how to be a good businesswoman is one of the greatest spiritual journeys you'll ever take, because you have to learn how to love. You have to learn how to release. You have to learn how to let go. You have to learn how to ask. You have to learn how to take space. You have to learn how to speak up. Like, you have to learn so many things.
To learn how to fail. You have to learn how to win. You have to learn how to do all those things.
That's right. So again, I'm just going to review. Comfort zone is what you know. Stretch zone is, you know, you can do it. You just haven't done it. Beat up zone. Risk is, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I'll be successful. I could fail. I could succeed. And then outside that risk zone, all that other space out there is the die zone. And the die zone is, there's no way I'm doing that. I'm going to die if I do that. That feels like, are you crazy? That is insane, right? So like, that's like crazy talk. Like, that's what? No, no, no. What? You know, for some people, a die might be, and I'm going to make this up, maybe sending a piece of jewelry to Oprah.
Yeah.
And, you know, cross, like, what? Send a piece of jewelry to Oprah? What, are you crazy? Right? You can't do that. Run! Right? Like, it's going to be embarrassing. She's never going to wear it. I'm just wasting jewel, you know, wasting precious stones. Right? So, you know, or whatever your die is. Again, maybe that $1 million mark. Right? So this is what's cool. What you're going to do is you're going to put your revenue goal, or, you know, maybe your PR goal, or again, another, a dream and or goal up on top of that piece of paper called Stretch Risk Die. And I just want you to write out all the things you think you have to do. Like, oh, I got to get Oprah's address. I got to find out who her agent is. I've got to really decide what she usually wears so I can pick the appropriate piece.
Yeah, pick the right piece.
Right. So like, you got to write your list out, right? Then what I want you to do is I want you to take each one of those things and start plotting them. Is that a stretch? Is that a risk? Or is that a die? So finding Oprah's agent may be a stretch, because we can probably look it up on Google, probably pretty easy to find her lawyer and or her, you know, or the name of her company. We can totally find, we can send it to Own for sure in Los Angeles, right? Yeah. So that's a stretch probably for most people. Go on Google. I'm going to find her address. But then starting to decide what to send her or what jewels, it's like, oh my God, that might be a risk or die for some people. And that's the other thing I want to make sure I say, Tracy, is that one person's stretch is another person's risk, and another person's die is another person's comfort zone. So you can never say to another human being, I always say the worst advice you can give, the worst coaching you can give, the worst support you can give is, it's easy, come on, it's easy, right? Because it's like, no, it's a die. No, it's not easy. No. But to you, it may be a stretch or a comfort zone. So it is easy, but to them, it's a die. So we want to, the Stretch Risk and Die model is all about honoring the way that you work, your process, and getting to know yourself better. So you understand the emotional capacity it takes to take that action, rather than beating yourself up for, why didn't I do that? I can't believe I didn't do that. No, you didn't do it because it's a risk and it's a die, right? Now, this is the cool part of Stretch Risk and Die, Tracy, is that as you start clicking off those stretches and clicking off those risks and clicking off those dies, your comfort zone starts expanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it encompasses your stretch zone. So what used to be a risk is now a stretch, and what used to be a die is now a risk, and you have a whole new die zone. And then it gets bigger, right? And what used to be a die is now a stretch.
And now you are growing.
You are growing, girl. And you are growing any way that you'd like. That's the cool thing. Like, you have full charge of your life evolving, and all you do is have to follow, you know, your intuition, follow those opportunities, follow those possibilities, follow those yearnings inside of you, follow those nudges, and plot them on the Stretch Risk and Die model and go, oh, okay, I see. Okay. If it's a risk or a die, I got to prepare. I need to ask for help. Yeah. I may need to ask somebody to go with me. I may need to have somebody read that letter before I send it to Oprah, right? I am going to need to do this with somebody else, i.e. not maybe hand-holding, and maybe sometimes yes.
Yeah.
But you might want to ask for support. You might want an accountability buddy, because the risks and the dies get into the places where we just seem to not do it. Like, I keep getting sidetracked. Ah. Right. So we need that support buddy in order to help us move forward, which I'm sure your group has plenty of support buddies. Yes.
Yes, we do. I mean, We have our Diamond Insiders membership, which we have a big group community in our SOS coaching program. Both of those communities, we have accountability built in different ways and support.
Excellent.
Just awesome.
So use that accountability and, you know, think about, you know, as we're moving into the new year, think about what is that goal slash dream you have over the next 12 months and really allow yourself to live inside that for 12 months, you know, because I guarantee you what you think you can accomplish in 12 months can happen faster and it will be different than what you imagine. Nothing happens exactly according to script, not even on a TV show,
not
on a movie set. You know, when you ever read about movies, they go, oh my God, that was ad-libbed. It was the best part of the movie, right? So you're going to be living inside that dream and it's not going to look exactly like you think it's going to look. It's not going to show up. You're not going to get the results you think you are. It's going to be better. It's going to be different. It's going to be more. So use the stretch or skin die to help you, you know, cut through the glass ceiling, to really help you live inside your possibilities and opportunities. And then in that same moment, you're honoring your feelings, you're honoring your process, you're honoring what's really going on for you. So you're not having to be tough. Like, I grew up in Upper Michigan, Upper Minnesota, so I was going to be tough, right? Suck it in. And so It's not about sucking it in. It's about like, oh, I really want to make this happen and I'm scared of bejeebers. I want to do this and I don't know how, right? And I'm willing to stretch risk and die my way there, because if you do that, I guarantee you, you're going to get more skilled, more masterful, and more, in charge of your destiny.
Have you done a TED Talk about this yet?
No, I haven't actually.
Why not? I mean, this would be
I didn't even think about it till you just said it. I just didn't even think about it.
So I'm going to just share with you, and I've shared this with like at our live event this year, like my die goal right now is to do a TED Talk and have 20 million views on it.
Wow. Yeah.
Which I didn't realize this when I said that out loud the first time I like declared it, that the top TED Talks in the world have 20 million views, which I think is so funny. But anyway, I'm going to go for it. And who knows if I will do a TED Talk at some point. Who knows if it'll get 20 million views, but it feels like a die to me right now, but I'm going to go for it and figure out how to get there.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
congratulations.
Thank you.
And now you've inspired me to get a stretch risk die TED Talk. I did a TED Talk, but I did a TEDx Talk.
Okay.
And the camera broke.
Oh, so, okay. Just kidding.
So it's not on the TEDx. It's not on the TED.
Well, we need to get you on another one then.
Okay. I'm with you. Anybody know anybody TED Talks? Let me know.
Awesome. So, So you have a free exercise, but I also would, I don't know, if you feel comfortable, I would love for you to share a sort of like your story a little bit more. I know you don't like to talk about it.
No, I have no problem talking about it, because, you know, it's so funny because you're talking about TED Talks, and most of us do what we do, what we love, because it expresses who we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of us. And that's when we feel joy in our work and passion in our work. And I know for me, when I first, you know, opening a business, it kind of sometimes can feel like, well, I've got to honor my muse, you know? And it's like, no, part of opening your business is actually, like I said, putting a structure around it to allow that muse to have more free flow. So, you know, my story is part and parcel of what I do. And for a long time, I never told it because I thought nobody wanted to hear it. But then I started realizing the story is, it made me who I am. It's made me do what I do. And it made me create the stretch risk and die exercise, right? So my story still, to this day, I've been in business since 1995. It still moves me and motivates me to stretch, risk, and die, right? So the story you're referring to is the worst day of my life. And I'll just share the short version since I know we're running out of time. But, you know, I was 14 years old and I grew up in a little town in Upper Michigan. And my parents were recently separated. And it was Father's Day. And my father was coming to take us out for Sunday brunch, which was a big deal because we didn't go out to eat because it's a lot of money, 3 kids, 2 adults. And my father comes in the house, come on. And my mom's in her bedroom putting on her blue eyeshadow. And my sisters are fighting it out in the bathroom. And me and my dad and my mom start walking out. My sisters are still in the bathroom. We had one bathroom, you know, back then, basically had one bathroom where I grew up anyway. That was not weird. It was normal. I think about that today. I'm like, oh my God, one bathroom. How did we do it?
We had very limited bathrooms too, but we had more than one, but
we only had one. We had one bathroom, 3 girls, 2 adults. And the house was about 850 square feet, really small. So my sisters are in the bathroom fighting out. Me, my mom, and dad start walking out to the car. My dad's screaming, "Let's go, girls." Of course, they're still stuck in there getting ready. And as my father walks out with me and my mother, he says he's going to get his coat from his trunk. And as he opens his trunk, out of the corner of my eye, I see that he has not grabbed his coat, but he's grabbed a gun. And he starts screaming at my mother, "You made me do this. You made me do this." And he fires. And I start screaming, "What are you doing, Dad? What are you doing?" And he cocks the gun and he looks at me, and I'm completely convinced I'm next. And he blinks and I blink, and literally, like, we're I can go right back there. Like, we're frozen in time, right? We're just staring, basically hardly breathing, looking at each other. Like, who's going to go first, right? Is he going to shoot me, or am I going to move, or what's going to happen? And in that moment, my mother, who already has a bullet inside her, looks up and sees my father with that gun in front of me and screams, "No, don't." And my father, realizing my mother's still alive, takes that bullet intended for me and shoots my mother a second time. And that solid second bullet goes through my mother's abdomen, out her back, and lands in the car horn. And for the next 20 minutes, all I hear is, "Meh." And then my father comes right next to me, cocks the gun, puts it to his head, and fires. So in 2 minutes, I was the sole witness to my father murdering my mother and committing suicide in front of me. And I don't know how you would respond, but I know what I did. I basically blamed myself. I was the only one that could have stopped it. I was the only one that could have kicked my father or grabbed the gun or even run in front of my mother, like, and protect my mother and, like, just be a barrier, right? But I did none of that. I was frozen. And all I got out was, "Stop, Dad, stop," right? And now they're both dead. So for the next 20 years, I basically split myself in two, right? On the surface, if you would have met me, Tracy, I'd been like, "Hi, no, I'm fine. Hi." And I got, you know, straight A's in school still and got a full ride to college. And, you know, "I'm fine. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. No, I'm fine." And in the middle of the night, and especially then when I went to college and discovered alcohol, the demons, like, "What's wrong with me?" really ran my life. Like, there's something seriously wrong with me. And, you know, what kind of person lets their mom die? So I lived with a lot of guilt and shame and absolutely believed to the core of my being that I had no right to be happy. You don't get to be happy if you watch your mother get murdered and you didn't do anything like that. You don't get that. You don't get to be happy. And I literally lived that way for 20 years. And I tried to kill myself 3 times. I became an alcoholic. I got 3 DUIs, went to jail. And the 3rd suicide attempt, I went to a psychiatric ward for evaluation to see if I'm crazy. And it was that 3rd suicide attempt that I realized that I'm not good at killing myself, and I got to figure this out. Because I'm not dying, because that's what I wanted to do, but I wasn't dying. So I realized that there must be a reason for me to be alive. And so that is when I started creating exercises for myself. Now, before I say one more thing, I want to just let everyone know, during those 20 years of pain and suffering, I went to therapy. I went to workshops. I read books. I was a self-help junkie. When I was 14, I was planning on being a minister. So I was reading self-help books when I was 12. You know, I was reading the Bible when I was, gosh, when I was 10 or 8, you know, something. So I was trying for those 20 years to find what was wrong with me. And all of that work I did on myself was wonderful in the sense that it gave me tools and it gave me skills, but none of it took away the shame and the feeling that there's something wrong with me and that I'm not good enough. Nothing took that away until I started making up my own exercises and what's now called fearless living. But again, I never created fearless living for anyone but me, to save my own life. And shockingly, still to this day, it's like, not only did it save my life, but it helps others, which I still, like, when I think about that, I can't believe it. Like, I can't believe it.
Yeah, you're doing such a great job at helping others. I mean, you've helped me so much just in the short amount of time that I've known. Oh,
thank you, Tracy. Thank you. Well, I'm glad that I was able to, you know, not only let my parents go and allow myself to be happy, but to forgive them and to release them and to, you know, let them move on and let me move on and actually, you know, step into my life. And, you know, I definitely know I would not be Rhonda Britton, fearless living, without my parents' death. And people ask me, well, would you rather they be dead or alive? I'd go, well, I would choose them any day, being alive, over having fearless living any day. But I think this is one way that I can honor them, by using my own life as an example and keep growing myself, like, because that's what I'm always doing. my own life is literally my laboratory.
Every time I hear that story, which is only now the third time, I'm just like so blown away by your resilience and, you know, your ability to snap yourself out of something, even though it seemed like nothing was going to change for a while. I mean, because you said there was like 20 years of doing the same thing over and over again. And so my final message, I feel like, to everyone watching and listening to this, no matter what you're facing, hopefully you're not in a situation like Rhonda was or something like that, but anything, you can overcome anything if you really want it. And we can all change and step into who we're really supposed to be. And so that's really where the power is, I feel like, in your story. And
absolutely,
we don't have to keep repeating that same story.
That's right. That's right. And you use the stretch, risk, and dive model to help you on the way out.
Yeah. So where can we get that?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. So go to fearlessliving.org/risk, R-I-S-K. fearlessliving.org/risk, R-I-S-K. And you can go there and I will gift you my stretch, risk, and die exercise. It's 3 videos and it has worksheets and it has examples. So you can really learn how to do this, because if you learn how to do this, it's going to take away a lot of the shame and blame and beating yourself up and excuses and complaining that you do about yourself and your life. Anytime that you're wondering if you can do it, anytime you want to say, I'm resistant, what's my problem, why am I sabotaging, all that conversation goes away and you can actually start moving forward in whatever way, in whatever direction that looks like. So go to fearlessliving.org/risk, R-I-S-K.
Okay, awesome. Rhonda, thank you so much for being here. You're amazing.
As you are. And I'm just honored to be with you once again, Tracy. It's been such a joy to get to know you. And I can't wait to deepen our friendship.
Me too.
Be fearless, everyone.
Bye, everyone. I'm always blown away by Rhonda. Wasn't that episode amazing? I hope that you really got some value out of that. Because here's the thing. It's like, no matter where you are in life or business, we're always come against, you know, upper limits and ceilings to growth. And a lot of that times that has to do with fear. So let's stretch, risk, or push it to the limit and get our fear into that die zone so we can overcome it and continue moving forward in our business and in our life to achieve amazing things financially, metaphysically, personally, relationshiply, however you want to do it. Let's just crush it and be the best and live our hashtag best life ever. Because that's what it's all about, right? And if you've been listening to me any way, shape, or form, you know, my belief is that creatives rule the world and your creativity is your number one asset to growing a business and a life that really lights you up. So let's do this. If you haven't yet, make sure that you register for the Jewelry Brand Makeover Bootcamp. Head on over to flourishthriveacademy.com/makeover. All the links that we mentioned for Rhonda will be in the show notes in the episode, and we'll also have a link to the Jewelry Brand Makeover Bootcamp. Let's do this. I'm really excited and looking forward to helping you uplevel your business and kick fear to the curb this year. Happy New Year, everyone.